Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Lauren Conaway today. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Matt.
I'm so glad you're here with me today because we're going to Atlanta.
We're going to be hanging out in hot Atlanta. And I wonder, like, do you think Atlanteans? That's what I'm going to call them, Atlanteans. Do you think that they call it hot Atlanta?
I just think they're probably too hot most of the time to even talk about it. I know it's really hot down there.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right. Well, I'm super
Atlanta's
excited.
Atlanta's a good spot. Atlanta's a good spot. I've been there several times, you know, and I mean, it's 6 million people strong. It's one of our larger markets. And also the subject of today's and this month's top startups here on Startup Hustle. So... yeah,
well, they're kind of known for having a lot of really, really cool startup activity and entrepreneurial activity happening. So I'm really excited to see this slate of startups, top startups.
And we have 13 of them. 13. Lucky 13. Oh, man.
Lucky 13.
Yeah, it's a good list. I'm just curious to see if the production staff gave me 7 and gave you 6 or the other way around.
I'm really, really hoping that they gave you 7. Like, you can take the help.
Thanks.
It's all yours.
Yeah. So with that, I'll let you know that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Maybe we'll get to build a software team for some of these top startups. You never know. Some of them are going to be on the show. Make sure you tune in and learn all about them as we continue to add them to the ever-growing lineup of episodes. It's like we've had like 700 episodes. How about that?
That is crazy to me. Well, and I mean, like, you pair the fact that we've had so many episodes with like the successes that the show has seen, like top 25 entrepreneurship podcast listen to in how many countries?
A lot. 190 some. Like, I don't even check anymore. We got to 190 and there's like 202 and there's maybe, I don't know, it's a lot of 2 million download, a whole lot. But anyway, let's get into this list because I think we need to. We got 13 companies to talk about. First up on our list. Now, you know what? Before I get started, there is a couple things. These are not listed. This is not like a rank. Like, just because we talk about a company first does not make them number one.
Yeah.
You know, we just have kind of, you know, you're on the list or you're not. And that's just kind of the way it is. It would be a little too much to get into the actual ranking and maybe not fair overall because some of these, all these companies do different stuff. Some of them are tech, some of them do other stuff. And, you know, very first on the list, we've got Bark.us. Honestly, I don't know whether to call this Barkus or Bark.us, but this is... Bark uses AI detection to detect and proactively alert parents to issues their children face, such as cyberbullying, suicidal ideation, and school shooting threats by only showing parents potential problems on their children's social media, text messaging, and emails accounts. BARC's approach saves parents valuable time and helps build trust between parent and child. Hey, this is real stuff, you know, like being the parent of two small children, I sometimes find myself sitting and thinking about how scary the world can be. And I, you know, this is a pretty robust startup. You know, they've had $37 million in funding. So very well backed and validated at this point. And, you know, overall, it's just trying to, you know, there's so much stuff to watch and deal with. And, you know, my kids are already attached to screens and devices and whatever. And I think anything that can help parents monitor and maintain some of that stuff is good. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I am not a parent, but I can imagine that that kind of peace of mind is absolutely priceless. So clearly they're going to have a market for concerned and engaged parents. You know, I love that. Parents like you, Matt, you know, I mean, you're an awesome dad. Your kids are freaking awesome. But when they get a little older, I can imagine that being able to have some insight into what they're up to online and, you know, some insight into maybe their mental condition and mental health, like that's going to be hugely, hugely helpful to you, right?
Yeah, cool. People do weird stuff. People do weird stuff online. So, you know, like even like things like YouTube Kids and stuff like that, we've occasionally, you know, found things or videos or been alerted to stuff that, you know, just is not appropriate. And it's just weird. So quit being weird on the internet, people.
Right?
Quit being weird. Yeah. Quit being weird. All right. Who do we have
like, if there were a slogan for the internet, that should be, you know how like it's like
quit being weird.
It's like quit being weird.
I think the internet was partially founded on being weird, but yeah. All right.
You're not wrong.
All right. There we next go. Up. Who's next?
Well, next up, we have PadSplit. And PadSplit is, they're an affordable housing tech startup. They provide house sharing services for the workforce. So they have built this platform that incentivizes residents, property owners, and communities to make affordable housing possible for the private market, which I think we all know that right now, affordable housing is a huge hot button issue. And so the fact that they are working to address this, they're using shared living to make housing more affordable for low income individuals, and they're empowering people. You know, if you have access to affordable housing, not only do you have the peace of mind of having a place to live, but you also have the ability to do things like build up savings and to, you know, focus on a job search or, you know, buy food, like all of those kind of very, very basic primary needs. And so they're addressing a real need. And I'm just super, super impressed by PadSplit. Apparently, the investment community is also impressed. They have raised $14.6 million in 4 funding rounds. And that's amazing. You know, there is a recognized need and they are out there doing the work. How about you, Matt? What do you think?
I think that we're 2 startups in and we're over $50 million in funding. So that says a lot about what's going on definitely down in Atlanta. And
yeah, and I think this we know how to pick them.
Yeah, this is a problem worth solving. And, you know, anything that works, you know, on both sides of it, too, because, you know, there's a lot of people that are looking for affordable housing. There's other people that are looking to make their housing more affordable. And, you know, this is a kind of a continuance of that gig economy, but, you know, made more so and, you know, getting people into situations that they can afford. And being from Kansas City, I'm kind of used to housing feeling a little more affordable, you know, than a lot of markets that are on the coast. And, you know, knowing people that are in New York and California and other places, and that's been a problem for a long time. So it's definitely a problem we're solving.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, PadSplit. Thank you for taking one for the team and helping us all out.
Now, have you already recorded an episode with their founder?
Not yet. So that's going to be coming up. I've got a recording and I think it might even be like really close, but Atticus LeBlanc. What is the episode? Removing Barriers to Entry. I mean, how cool is that? Like, I love having that conversation. Right. You know me. So
that's why I asked. I figured you'd be fired up. I don't think Atticus even knows what he's getting into yet.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun.
I'm going to email him and let him know that he should probably block off at least an hour and a half past the normal time.
Are you saying I talk too much?
No, I'm saying that when you are passionate on a subject, you have lots of really amazing stuff to say, Lauren. So we don't want to do anything to chop that down or make it shorter. Now, next on the list, we've got Agora Services. And Agora Services is a provider of digital platform banking solutions. They offer cloud-based services for financial institutions where users can manage accounts in real time without requiring institutions to replace their core banking systems. What does that mean? It's fintech, people. And, you know, there's I recently recorded an episode with a guy that had started a new bank in Austin, Texas, of all places. And we're talking about a lot of the stuff when it comes to, you know, banks are leaning on, you have either these huge big banks or you've got these community banks. And there's a huge difference between the two. And with that, a lot of these community banks and smaller banks are really relying on the world of startups and fintech to get their tech straight. So we're seeing a lot, you know, in a lot of the different cities we have covered, we've seen a lot of fintech stuff. Fintech and health tech are two techs that are certainly never going away. And they have a massive, massive addressable market. So Agora Services has raised over $2 million and they're involved in some really cool accelerators. And we wish you the best of luck going forward and welcome to Atlanta's top startup list here on Startup Hustle 2021.
Way to go, Agora Services. Yeah. All right. So next up, we have Steady. And I love the fact that, like, I tend to end up with the ones that speak my startup languages. And so Steady, they talk about removing barriers. I love removing barriers. Democratizing access is something we talk about a lot when I'm hosting a show. Steady removes barriers to earn through its income intelligence that supports hourly, 1099, and mixed earners in earning more. And so, you know, there's a lot of data out there, particularly with the advent of COVID. You know, we've had a lot of folks who, you know, are wage workers, who are in kind of lower socioeconomic levels. They took a huge hit, right, Matt? Right. So we now have a platform, we have Steady, who is working to use intelligence and use data to help those earners make more money and maximize the money that they are able to make. And I think it's really cool. You know, they have individuals who want to use their platform. They answer questions about their skills and experience. And then they have a personalized work profile to gain access to ways to make more money, earn more, you know, build that. And we're talking about things like generational wealth and opportunity and access. And so anytime you have a product or a service or a platform that allows people to succeed, regardless of the barriers that are thrown in their way, I get super pumped about it. So way to go, Steady. Just really, really glad to see you here on the list.
$29.5 million in funding.
That's crazy. That's amazing. Yeah,
that's legit. That's legit. That's a lot. You know, one of the things that caught my eye about this is, you know, there's so many people that want to work and want to do stuff, but might not know where or how or what. And I like the idea that they fill out a profile, they do a lot of stuff, and it says, hey, consider this. I mean, that's the thing, is there's a lot of people that are willing, wanting, and able, and they just could use someone to point them in the right direction. I mean, when it comes to this kind of stuff, I mean, this is the stuff I deal with all the time at Full Scale, you know, is recruiting, assessing, retaining, and employing. And that's, you know, that spells RARE. And, you know, we like that acronym because people are rarely good at all of those things. And they're, you know, being able to get an idea about what someone is passionate about, what they want to do, and getting them it lined up with the right stuff is like the key ingredient to what we do. So I have a big appreciation for anybody that helps other people do that. One thing I do know is when you match people up with things that they're interested in, that they're passionate about, or that they want to do, they stick with it and they usually do a good job. Right. Meaning like they don't show up and quit like 4 hours in. which is what, you know, and I mean, here's the thing is there's more jobs than people looking for jobs. And that seems like a weird statistic for people right now, but that's because we don't have the right people to do the available jobs. And then we've got a surplus of people that need to be pointed in the right way to a specific thing. So I think anything that helps fix that is advantageous. Sure.
Absolutely. So thank you, Steady. Round of applause.
Okay, before I get into this next one, I want to point out that before we hit record, Lauren always rejoices in any assignment of top startups to me that involve supply chain and logistics, for which I'm not necessarily an expert.
I don't know anything about supply chain logistics.
I'm not necessarily an expert. Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I know something about it, but I'm not going to claim to I don't have an MBA in supply chain.
You explain it really well. And I got to tell you, man, I only talk about supply chain and logistics when we have these very special times together, Matt. And so having you explain it definitely helps.
I get it because I'm a nerd when it comes to business and the supply chain, such a key ingredient. So, all right, box lock. Now, that's hard for me to say because I want to say lockbox, but box lock, supply chain and logistics. So box lock specializes in secure unattended delivery tech. It provides subscription-based inventory access and security solutions, helping companies realize tomorrow's savings today by making their supply chain more efficient, accountable, and reliable wherever assets are stored and transferred. So this is software as a service type solution. And, you know, really what they're trying to do here is give the same kind of tools and transparency to companies that might not have the resources to do it. Now, one of the things that, since COVID hit, that has really been stretched, bent, broken, challenged, and needs to be changed is our supply chain. And, you know, recently I was recently reading an article in the Wall Street Journal.
You're so impressive.
Yeah, totally. I read four articles a week from there. I get the app, you know, I read the app. Sometimes I read the article, sometimes I don't. The important thing to know is that I'm so old, I have to put my readers on now. Yeah. But anyway, there's a problem right now as we're recording this. There's a massive backlog of ships just waiting to enter port in Los Angeles. And that's all part of the supply chain. And the thing is if you're promising things to customers or you have to coordinate your labor or any of that stuff, it's a huge problem. We're having a huge supply chain issue with computer chips right now. You know, here in Kansas City, the Ford factory just canceled 300,000 units or something crazy, because they can't build the cars without chips. So that's all part of the supply chain. And it goes it just affects everything. So there's been a big push towards delivery and logistics. And you'd think that this is one of those things that the world of technology and just business and commerce in general would have handled a lot of solutions for. And there are so many, many, many more problems that need to occur. So, that need to be solved. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to weigh in on supply chain logistics?
The only thing I am going to weigh in on is, Matt, I think you know by now that I have a bunch of nicknames for you. I very rarely call you Matt, when you and I are just interacting, you and I. But I have a bunch of nicknames for you, and I think I'm going to add SCN, and it's going to be Supply Chain Nerd. And that's your new nickname. I love it
supply
when you
chain nerd. Them.
Supply chain nerd. Yeah, you really are.
I mean, like I said, though, there's so many things that don't happen when that's busted. Yeah. So it just really leads to.
Right. It's definitely the foundation of our capitalistic society. And I get that. I'm just I'm going to let Matt take this one. But
yep. I've dealt with that. I mean, ever since I used to, before I was an entrepreneur, when I used to work for Roland, and that's the world's largest maker of electronic musical instruments. And we had to be pretty precise about knowing when things were coming into port. Because if we had people ordering stuff, they wanted to know when they were going to get it, because they would miss sales and lose opportunities if they weren't able to fulfill things on time. And that was a decade and a half ago. So problems are still out there. Definitely new ones come up in this last couple of years too.
Well, nothing but love for our supply chain professionals, our carriers, brokers, shippers, drivers. They are A-OK. We love them a lot. I don't know much about y'all, sorry. But thank you for the work that you do. And speaking of supply chain, guess what we have next on the list, Matt? Guess what?
It's not a supply chain company.
It is. In fact, it's a company that serves the supply chain sector. So it kind of touches on it tangentially. And I have the great pleasure, distinct pleasure of talking about Relay Payments. So Relay Payments is an end-to-end payment network. They provide payment options for the logistics industry, my favorite. You know, all of these different, you know, vendors and carriers and, I don't know, drivers, they can use it for secure and instant payments. And one of those problems that you talked about in our previous startup chat is the fact that there are a lot of problems within the supply chain industry and the logistics industry. And one of them is getting drivers paid and getting shippers paid and doing it quickly and doing it in a secure way. So they partner with distribution centers nationwide. They are providing faster and improved service to supply chain customers. So they have a digital payment process that gets drivers off the dock, back onto the road, and more quickly to maximize their hours of service. And that is all to the good, definitely helps us out. They've raised $43 million. And that ain't nothing. That is a what are we up to? Have we been like counting up how much we're at?
I don't know. I once it got past the total, when I took my shoes off, I quit counting.
You were just done. Well, I feel like it's a lot.
It's a lot.
43 million, nothing it's to see that. Yeah. And it's definitely an indication of the great need within the supply chain sector to address some of these issues. So Relay Payments is on the ground, making it easier for our supply chain professionals to get paid. Love it.
Payments is a big part of the supply chain, and you know, like, and it, you start to slow them down, and you create another catastrophic waterfall of bullshit, you know, that can come up with a lot of stuff. Just meaning, like, it's difficult sometimes to coordinate this part of all of it, and yeah. You know, that's like, you know, here in Kansas City, we have a very fast growing company, C2FO, that deals with just that. And they've grown into doing billions of dollars worth of stuff. And that's like supply chain stuff that goes into just getting like Costco and Sam's Club kind of stuff furnished. And that's the problem, is if we go back to the Stone Ages, where it takes 6 to 8 weeks to get certain things done and filed and set up and whatever, it just slows things down and it just creates problems. All right. Yeah. Next on our list, and you know what, before we get too far into this, get into the back half of this list, you know, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and
affordably. That's right.
That's,
you know,
right.
What, Matt, I can say that. Sometimes I say that phrase in my dreams. I just want you to know
that's
that.
Good.
Did you know
that's
that?
Good. Yeah, we'll serve it.
My subconscious.
We'll consider servicing clients in your dream world. It just depends if they're the right fit for us. We'll take a look at it.
Reach out. I definitely
will. We'll take a look at it.
You do an epic job.
And next on our list is a company that's kind of similar, Innovian Solutions. Innovian Solutions offers technology consulting, managed service, project implementation, and staff augmentation for mid-sized to Fortune 500 companies, which is, you know, a similar thing to what we do at Fullscale. And the struggle's real here. Like, getting the right people and building the right teams is just a massive undertaking worldwide. And you know, and that landscape's continuing to shift. So a lot of companies, big companies especially, it's amazing, they're not that great at sourcing talent. So they look to companies like Innovian or Fullscale or whomever, and you know, they want to try to build teams. And you know, it's a arms race for the right talent out there. So anything that that companies can do. Like, I'll give you an example of what they do. You know, you book a meeting, the client discusses the company's needs, and they talk about managed service, tech consulting, project service, or staff augmentation. And, you know, that's a, you know, making custom solutions for different kinds of clients is a big deal.
It is a big deal. You're absolutely really right. I wholeheartedly agree with everything that you just said. I also really love it when you get the startups that have the more difficult to pronounce name, or like the more subjective to pronounce names. That's my favorite. I'm like,
you're
assuming that I'm
saying them correctly.
Huh?
Yeah, but you're assuming I'm saying them correctly. I mean, I don't know if I am.
I'm
assuming I am too. Yeah. I haven't received any angry messages. I haven't received any angry messages, calls, or letters from people saying you butchered the name of my company.
That's good. I'm really glad.
Well, you got a real easy one on this next one. If you can't pronounce this, then I'm throwing you out of the show.
Is it Flick? No, it's Flock Safety. I got it. See, I can read and everything. It's amazing. So again, Flock Safety does something really, really cool and really, really crucial to our society. They are a public safety operating system. They help communities and law enforcement. And I think it's in 1,200 cities. They're working to eliminate crime. Communities that operate on Flock Safety reduce crime by up to 70%. And so what they do, they've created these cameras and detection devices that actually detect objective evidence. And they have a focus kind of on license plate reading, but they're grabbing information, they're grabbing data, they're grabbing evidence, and then they're decoding it with machine learning. And then they're sending it to the people who can help stop crime, prevent crime. And I think that that's really cool. The Flock Safety's ALPR system securely captures images. Once the images are captured, then the camera immediately loads them into a securely encrypted cloud server. They have a proprietary machine learning process that analyzes each image, and then they leverage what they call it's vehicle fingerprint technology. And I would really love to talk to this founder and like delve more deeply into that for sure. But they can uniquely identify the vehicle type, make, color, and then they read and store that information. And so they're capturing data, they're delivering it into the right hands, and they're reducing crime. And so they're very much fundamentally on the ground, deeply affecting our society and our culture and how safe we are. You know, does it make you sleep better at night knowing that Flock Safety is out there? Because it sure does me.
It does. Do you know what ALPR stands for?
Of course not, Matt. Why would you ask me shit like that?
I didn't either. I Googled it while I was listening to you. Automatic license plate recognition.
I was like, ALPR. Like, I'm sure it stands for something awesome. I have no idea what.
I didn't either. I had to look it up.
Is it artificial? Yeah.
Automatic license plate recognition.
Okay. Automatic license plate recognition. See, that makes sense.
That's a new one. That's a new one for me. We might have to do a new acronyms episode.
Oh, yes.
We did one of those a couple years ago. There's too many acronyms. That's what we need. We need a startup that will solve the acronym problem and startups and business in general. That's the last thing we need is another. Now, you talk about funding, $230 million.
Amazing.
We're in like a different world of funding than we were last month in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Atlanta.
I mean, it kind of shows you what's going on in Atlanta. Yeah,
right.
I mean,
like,
it really does.
It's
just
insane. So if we do an acronym episode, well, actually, I want to ask you this. Do you remember when we were recording like the first episodes of Startup Hustle TV? And Joel and Johnny, they were like doing the interview thing, the intake interview, and they kept asking me what acronyms meant. And I just so you know, Matt, like I was so
just
so
what acronyms scared. Are in general.
Yeah, no. Like they would give me
like,
an acronym, and they would be like, "What do you think that stands for?" And then like you would come up with the most ridiculous answer. But like I was so stressed out the whole time because I had no idea what any of them meant.
It's okay. During our acronyms episode, when asked what ATM stood for, I said anytime money. Which is not, it's automatic teller machine.
That's a very apt description of what an ATM does.
Yeah. And then
like
my co-host, My co-host had a much filthier answer, which I'm is sure. why we won't let him on the next version of that.
I'm not at all surprised by that.
we do mark the episodes explicit. So just so you know. All right. So speaking of funding and also things that are hard to pronounce, the next on our list is BACKT, and that's BAKKT. Now, these folks have had $482 million worth of funding. We got to be over a B for this list so far. Yeah. That's half a billion right there. So BACKT is a financial services company that focuses on digital currency that specializes in concurrency rewards and loyalty points. It features a software application platform for digital asset management that helps institutional clients in an end-to-end regulated market. So what does that actually mean? It means you can use BACKT to manage your digital assets. That's loyalty and rewards points, gaming assets, gift cards, cryptocurrency, all in one place. So, you know, that's, and I don't know enough about how, when we talk about that being an end-to-end regulated market, but I would imagine that there are probably some rules around, you know, when you talk about outstanding gift cards and points and stuff like that. Like, I mean, there's probably some regulation around that that I'm not even familiar with, but man, these guys have got something going on. So, you know, a lot to be said there. And, you know, like, I mean, there's a rapidly changing world when it comes to so much of this, and, you know, anything that involves handling assets, and all of that, especially in regulated markets, is probably complex and important.
Do you know how many like loyalty points and rewards programs and that I just miss out on because I totally forget that I have them, and they expire, or like years and years and years later I'll come across them and just be like, oh hey, yeah, that was something that I had once upon a time.
I'm willing to bet that those count as outstanding liabilities on a company's balance sheets.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, you know, you may have millions if upon millions of dollars in outstanding reward points and gift cards, and I would imagine that there's some regulation that involved that goes with that, and it's like, well, you know, so, you can't so, like, just be giving shit away for free and not tracking it. And like, what happens if everybody goes to cash it all in at the same time? I mean, I have a feeling that's where the compliance nature of that comes from.
Right. But I can't imagine how helpful it would be to an organization. But then me as a consumer, I'm just like, thanks, BACKT, helping me save money one digital wallet place at a time. It's amazing.
I mean, it probably has something to do when you talk about digital assets. I mean, non-fungible tokens, NFTs, have been pretty hot lately. And, you know, like, I don't know, there's a whole market and a whole world that goes around trying to handle and deal with that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I own some ETH somewhere out there. I need to figure out how to find it.
Some Ethereum?
Yeah, I think so.
Depending on when you bought it, you might be in for a pleasant surprise.
I mean, I'm gonna have to check that out, figure that out at some point. It's one of those things that's on my list that just keeps on getting punted down.
A couple years ago when Bitcoin really popped, I remember talking to people like pretty regularly. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, well, I found that I had a 20th of a Bitcoin somewhere.
Wow.
All of a sudden that's like worth a couple grand. You know?
I know. I was
like, all right, well, good for you.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I just, everyone has a remember then Bitcoin story. I remember preparing to buy 1,000 Bitcoins when they were $7 a piece, and I couldn't figure out the digital wallet fast enough. And I just was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to do this. I know.
That
was like 2010 or something like that.
God.
It was back when we owned the ticket business.
You would have been a crypto
billionaire. I wouldn't have held them till they were worth 50 grand. But and honestly, there were very few places to keep them. You talk about digital asset management, you know, when Bitcoin was really early in the process, there was a Pokemon card marketplace that turned into like a Bitcoin marketplace, and it ended up going belly up and everyone got screwed. Mount Gox is what it was called. So, I mean, I'm not sure we would have navigated through it, or I would have accidentally thrown it away on like an old school USB drive or something like that. Because
That's I'm like just right not up that there lucky. With like, you know, having Apple shares and then like losing your certificates or something like that. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was the same thing. It was, yeah. I mean, everyone's good. I mean, a lot of people have a story for that. Like, kind of like the guy that used a whole bunch of Bitcoins to buy a pizza when they were like, you know, like yeah. a whole bunch of them. He's the one that's famous for it. So
yeah. Heartbreaker.
All right. Next.
All right. So next up, and I got to tell you, like I don't know who put this list together, but mad kudos to them because they have gotten me right in my sweet spot.
The easiest to pronounce names in the history of the top startups?
Definitely on my list of criteria. But when we're talking about the things that Lauren loves to talk about, right at the top of the list is access. You know, I love talking about how we can break down barriers for people to access opportunity and access money. And, you know, so Greenwood Bank is next on our list. Greenwood is a mobile banking platform for Black and Latinx people and business owners. They have a lot of digital banking services, best in class, and they have some innovative ways of giving back to their community. So, you know, I think we all know that there are some deep systemic inequities in financial sectors, particularly when it pertains to people of color, BIPOC individuals. And so by creating assets and resources for these individuals to leverage their community for success, I love it. They've raised $43 million in 2 funding rounds. And so clearly there is a seen need. And I think that, you know, it's definitely when we're talking about inclusion and we're talking about access, that is a topic of the moment, but just Greenwood Bank is really cool. They have clients, they open an account. They're going to have different ways to, those clients will have different ways to deposit their checks and cash and their ACH payments. And, you know, they can set up direct deposit from payroll or government benefits. They can use the mobile app to deposit physical checks. Everything is FDIC insured, which we love to hear, but their real, I guess, impetus or reason for existing, you know, they want to close the racial wealth gap, of which there is a significant one. And so they're going to introduce tools and resources to the community to do that. Anytime you see, you know, a banking or any kind of institution that prioritizes the marginalized, I am 100% on board. I'm right behind it. You know me, I'm going to be the biggest cheerleader. So good on you, Greenwood Bank. Just super impressed with your, not only the way that you conduct your mission, but the passion that you have for your mission.
Yeah. And, you know, this is one of those issues that once you get deeper and deeper into the problem, you realize how much the solution's really needed. And, you know, embarrassed to say that here in Kansas City, we were like the hub for the payday loan stuff. And like, right. you know, you see like, just like the man, like how they were, it was just so predatory.
So
and
exploitative, then like so
you
many
get into all that and you're like, my God, you know, this is just, I mean, really, and you're just like, this ain't cool. You know, it's like someone needs to fix it.
It even goes as deep as like transportation. Like when you go into the urban core, or you go into, you know, socioeconomically depressed areas, like you're not going to find some of those big banks. You're not going to find people who can easily get to the bank to deposit their checks. And so by introducing digital banking options, and like you are creating access where before there was none. And so even at its most base value, and you know, not even considering the fact that Greenwood Bank is actively finding ways to give back to their community and to the constituents they serve, you're looking at like very tactical ease and access that they're creating. Like people can now bank from home. They don't have to hop on a bus and take an hour to get to the bank, right? they're updating the system and democratizing access to the system the whole way through. Love it.
All right.
You love it too, I know.
I do. Next on the list is Layer, LAYR. So Layer uses AI and machine learning to match companies with the right commercial insurance through top-rated carriers at the right place or at the right price. can't read today. Can't read. That's a problem we need to solve as well. So, you know, so here's the thing is this company has 5.6 million in funding, which by the way, is like been the high number on some of our other cities lists. So it's right. still a lot. Don't let the other numbers fool you. But, you know, this is an interesting thing because I think that most, you know, there's millions of small businesses out there and just so many of them don't know what, how, or what type of insurance to have. And some of them don't even have insurance, which is kind of crazy because, you know, a lot of that stuff trickles back to the owners and, you know, there's nothing worse than buying a bunch of insurance that you don't need or want. And then there's nothing worse than not having the right kind when you need it. And I mean, in my whole professional career, which has spanned a long time at this point, you know, this is always tough because you don't know who to reach out to. You end up having to go through like, you know, you got to talk to like five different companies and try to get one. And, you know, you don't even know if you're dealing with people that are even, you know, used to dealing with you as a client and so on and so forth. And I mean, I'm down for this. I think anything that insurance should be out of sight and out of mind. And I'm definitely in for anything that helps make this cost more predictable and more manageable for business in general.
I got to tell you, so a couple of years ago when Innovator was shopping around for insurance, like it was one of the most frustrating processes.
It's a pain in the ass.
I've ever undergone. Cause like there were all of these questions that I didn't know the answer to. And there were like, you would put in like one request and I would immediately get like six phone calls. And I'm like, I don't want to just tell me what I need to pay. You know, tell me what coverage I need.
Sometimes they're loaded with like all kinds of weird shit that you need to be like, it's a walk loaded with landmines. Just meaning like, absolutely. You know, you might even be buying insurance, but if you didn't read the like 78
super
pages
fine print.
With it, right? And you didn't know that you needed to have like some kind of action policy. I mean, there's just always something. So,
yeah.
All right. Absolutely. What's next? What do we got next?
Well, next up, we've already kind of touched on this little topic, but we have Bitcoin Depot and yet another startup whose name I can pronounce. I'm so
you're
so
really
excited about
on that
this
today,
list right here.
Sure.
Like I am killing it. We were just talking about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin Depot is an Inc. 5000 company. They are the largest cryptocurrency ATM network in the US. So their users have the ability to instantly buy and sell Bitcoin and 30 other cryptocurrencies, because I think we all know that there are a bunch of different kinds of cryptocurrency out there. But they have thousands of locations across the U.S. So they've got Bitcoin in a minute. They have over 3,000 crypto ATMs in 45 plus states. They're open 24/7. They have easy parking. It's super easy to create your account. And then you know, in less than a minute, you are buying and selling dozens of cryptocurrencies and you're doing it quickly. You're doing it securely. I don't think there's anybody out here there who doesn't know that cryptocurrency is a hot topic for sure. And so seeing Bitcoin Depot grow, they're growing really, really, really quickly. They reported up to 155% growth in the last year for cryptocurrency ATMs. So they are riding the wave and they're just like delving right into it. And I love it. Have you ever used a crypto ATM, Matt?
No, but I was going to say that if crypto, cryptocurrency is not, people are going to get mad at me for saying this. It's not really a currency yet because I can't go down to the store and easily buy something with it. And I mean, that's the problem is that's the next problem to be solved. I mean, I'm all for it. I like the blockchain. I like everything that comes with it. And I like what they're doing here because, you know, like I said, if you have to go through a whole dog and pony show to cash it out, you're in some ways regressing compared to like an actual bank, you know,
useful as your access to it,
where I can use my anytime money machine.
Yeah.
That's what ATM stands for, right? No, it's not.
I mean, honestly, Matt, like, that's what I'm going to tell people from here. I need to pop down to the corner to get some anytime money machine. I'll see you later.
Yeah. Shows you. You would be shocked at how many acronyms you don't know what they stand for. But
right.
Yeah. But, you know, overall, I mean, I like it. I think that, I mean, I like cryptocurrency. I think that it's a very interesting way to do a lot of stuff. I mean, and I think that it's interesting because I think some of the more interesting solutions with blockchain are, in my opinion, not even related to the currency itself. It's related to the blockchain ledger.
It can prevent
so many types of fraud and bullshit and other things that people don't even realize drive up the cost of everything that we do. Because, you know, prior to blockchain, an eraser was basically, you know, what you needed to steal in some cases. But yeah, but, you know, overall, like, I think we'll see a lot more of this kind of stuff. Just, you know, there's clearly like billions and billions of dollars that are flowing into crypto. And, you know, I think another thing, too, is you talk about using it can't all just be Bitcoin. I mean, maybe it can, but it probably won't be. There's use for but you mentioned having Ethereum earlier. Like, that's just like also largely used to create, you know, the ledger for so many different things. It's built, people build things on top of it, like smart contracts and stuff like that. So yeah, but being able to increase liquidity, meaning like usability and transferability. I was down at the new full scale Startup Hustle office, which Marknology has also moved into as well. So Andrew Morgan's and Andrew. Andrew was telling me, he's like, I just put crypto payments on our website, and I was like, has anyone paid with it? And he's like, it's I'm looking to the future.
Sure.
You know, but no, that's, I mean, that's the thing is
on the ground floor. I do remember like when crypto was first kind of when crypto was breaking into the public consciousness, because it had been around for a minute. But I do remember there was like a brief period of time where people kept on telling me, they were like, it's actually not about the cryptocurrency. It's all about the blockchain proprietary technology and the security. And now I feel like crypto is making a pretty significant resurgence. Like, I know so many folks who are just like, I got to get my hands on some crypto, and they get really enthusiastic about it. So it is, you know, the wave of the future. And, you know, when you've got companies like Bitcoin Depot who are, you know, leveraging that, turning that into opportunity, creating a market, that's pretty cool. They're on the cutting edge, my friend. I love it.
I agree. All right. So last on the list, but not least on the list. And yes, I got 7 and you got 6.
I know. I was thinking that. I was like, wait, he started and he ended.
Yeah.
I had the easy load.
That also means that I'm the one that gets to say that once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle was brought to you by Fullscale, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Fullscale.io. Come check it out. You know, there's a form you can fill out that takes like 3 minutes to fill out. And after which, we will give you access to the Fullscale portal, and you can look at all kinds of profiles and a lot of other stuff, and hopefully build the team of your dreams. All right. So the last on our Atlanta 2021 startups list is Evident. And Evident is an internet company specializing in cybersecurity, trust, identity, and, you know, all of it. They're dealing with and without handling sensitive personal data. And their goal is to reduce third-party risk with end-to-end insurance verification and fulfillment. This is real stuff too, like, because you got to have insurance verification to do a lot of stuff, and this sometimes slows things down, you know, like, so being able to have something that can pop and say, yes, this is insured, this is a validated, you know, all of it says a whole lot. I mean, it's definitely, this is almost back to that supply chain thing. And, you know, obviously there's a secure nature to it, because back in the day, you know, I'd say, hey, send me your insurance stuff. I mean, I could have created that.
Yeah.
I could have created a document that said it. So being able to verify and validate that easily is pretty important.
Absolutely. I think you can do pretty much anything you set your mind to, Matt DeCourcy, but yes.
Maybe. Maybe. I can't verify and validate insurance info.
That's true. And that's why we have evident. I guess you're right. I guess you're right. But that's why we have evident. Well, very cool.
So here we are at the end, and it's time.
We did it.
Yes, we did. We made it through another top city. And congratulations on Atlanta on having so much cool stuff going on. Yeah. I mean, what do you like here?
So I think the one that I was thinking about that because I knew you were going to ask that question. So the two that I am most excited about, I'm really excited about Flock, just because I'm an AI nerd, and I just think it's super cool that they are reducing crime through technology. I just think there's a lot of potential there. But Greenwood Bank, man, completely unsurprisingly, like anything that can put money into the hands of people who need it in an equitable way is going to be something I adore. So Greenwood Bank is my number one. How about you?
Okay. Oh, I like Bark, just because it's like practical solutions for, sure. I mean, that's more of a personal thing, just because I think that, you know, there's so much digital stuff out there. And I think that over the next decade, there's going to be a lot of, you know, right now, Facebook's under a lot of pressure, and yeah. They had a pretty well-known whistleblower. And, you know, I think that there's a level of accountability that needs to be drawn up and added to pretty much the internet. You know, right. And that's a big thing. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's important.
I said two.
Easily my favorite. I mean, I like things like, I like Flock safety, because I think that while, I mean, honestly, some people aren't going to like stuff like that because they're going to feel like it's a little big brother-ish. I think at the same time, like this kind of technology used for good is a great thing. And there's certain things, and you think about, why does a machine learning or AI algorithm need my license plate? Well, because when you're frequenting some area you don't need to, right. Or you're way out of place, or something happens. This is more about prevention. And, you know, I think that one of the things about prevention is knowing that, you know, like if you feel like you're going to get caught doing something, or there's a higher probability of that, like I just think that there's a whole level of accountability that is still yet to be determined how we're going to do it, just from policing to all of it, you know. And there's a lot of stuff that needs to get better with that, yeah. Just better in general. And that's, yeah.
To your earlier point, like there are a lot of there are a lot of systemic issues in our policing community. Yep. I think we've got an episode coming up with Jay Austin where we kind of talk about the prison pipeline problem that we have. But, you know, we are like practical solutions to address issues that we have, not the problem. Like what we need to do is we need to confront our biases. We need to talk about, you know, cultural and societal change. But what we can also do is we can leverage the tools to make those problems better as well. So I'm still a fan of Flock for sure.
Yeah. And but that's back to that goofy little stuff. You know, it's like, I mean, your office or whatever gets broken into, and like, you know, like I'm just saying, it's just, there are things that, you know, use it for good and not for evil. And then it's exactly that.
Responsibility for sure.
But I think overall, I'm amazed at the amount of funding.
I know. I really, really want to talk Atlanta. I want to talk to Atlanta ecosystem builders and just be like, so what's your secret sauce? Because it's clearly working. Whatever it is you're doing.
Just want to be like, hey, what are you doing with all that money?
Yeah. Where are you getting all of that money, first of all? Because, yeah, I mean access out to there. Capital. Yeah. Like you and I talk to entrepreneurs all day long, and access to capital is always number one with a bullet when we're talking about problems. So, yeah.
And like, it's getting, you know, more and more interesting. And there's, you know, back to reading articles, I was reading a different one the other day that was just talking about like the reducing the reliance on venture capital, because there's such a wide variety of places and everything to get capital. I mean, there is so much money out there. you know, being able to get your hands on it. And then clearly there's a lot going on in Atlanta. So congratulations, Atlanta, and congratulations to the 13 companies that made it on the list. I guess we'll be back in another month with another city.
Yeah, I cannot.
Do you know what? Do you know what the city is? Because I don't know. They haven't told me yet.
I have no idea.
I know. They don't tell. For those of you listening, they don't tell us anything. They just like point at the seat and tell us to sit down and talk.
Yeah.
And if we say anything outside of that, we're just told to be quiet.
That is true. Luckily, you and I are both. We are excellent at talking. You know, it's one of our strong
suits. Yeah, I just tell them to shut up and that I've got a lot to say, and that's usually how it goes. But not always, but on some days, yeah. So I guess I'll see you in another month.
See you in another month, man.
Bye.
Bye.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.